to either get caught up on the January 6th committee investigation or refresh your memory about what you heard when it comes to all the monkey business the Trump campaign was pulling in Wisconsin and other states like Arizona and Georgia.
That's right. The Tuesday hearing was all about state level pressure. And so joining us again to help fill in the blanks, we have attorneys Joe Good and Mark Leitner. Welcome, guys.
Hey, evening.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys, just to have everybody listening remember, you guys are the lawyers that that sued Ron Johnson, Tom Tiffany, and Scott Fitzgerald to get them off the ballot. The case was dismissed on procedural grounds, but everything that you wrote about in the case is now happening. It's now being talked about at the hearings. I'm thinking they read your suit and they used it to ask some of these questions because it's so spot on. We're going to talk about what happened yesterday, and then I'm going to mention that, and then you guys are going to talk about what was going on corresponding to what was happening in Arizona, what was happening in Georgia. So just to kind of set us up, give us context. Yesterday's hearing, for those that weren't paying attention, talked about all of the ways that Trump tried to pressure the various swing states to either create fraudulent electors or find more votes. So we got a guy named Rusty Bowers, who is a speaker of the Arizona House of Representatives. And he said he was pressured by Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs. And of course, our friend Rudy Giuliani, who we drank to every time we mentioned him last week. We won't have that again as a drinking game, but he was pressured to decertify Biden's electors in Arizona. And Brad Raffensperger, everyone's heard this guy's name. He was a Georgia's Secretary of State. He said we all heard that phone call where Trump asked him to find something like 11,000 more votes out of thin air when they had already ran audits of those votes three different times in three different ways. And these guys were all Republicans, and they said, we can't find 11,000 more votes. And then finally, the best quote from what I heard yesterday was this guy named Gabriel Sterling, who was a top election official running the elections in Georgia, who just lost his temper when one of the people running the election was threatened by one of these crazy Trump cultists. He lost his temper and went out and he gave a speech and he asked Trump to stop misinforming people. But what he said was it was like trying to use a shovel to dig water out of the ocean, trying to compete against Trump's disinformation campaign. And then he also said, even talked about his own relatives who had heard these lies over and over and over again. And he said, you know, these lies went past people's brains and got in their hearts. And he said, once you get past the heart, the facts don't matter much. And that's what they had to deal with in Georgia. That's what we had to deal. We're still dealing with in Wisconsin. So, with that, I wanted to pass it to you guys. And can you kind of run us through what was going on in Wisconsin? You know, Trump was pressuring in Georgia. You know, Giuliani was pressuring in Arizona. What was going on in Wisconsin?
I'll tell you
Wisconsin?
What, as they do that, I want them to be able to respond to those three examples. Rusty Bowers from Arizona, Brad Raffensperger from Georgia, Gabriel Sterling from Florida. And the reason I say that is not only because Rusty Bowers really made an impression on me saying he's a Republican, but he never wants to win by cheating. But not only that, guys, but the fact that for those of you who get the video feed of this, Kristen has turned herself into a GIF, literally like eating popcorn as she's listening to the plot details come out on this. So, guys, why don't you give us a quick reaction to what you heard Tuesday from these other state level folks, and then we'll quickly dovetail you into Wisconsin.
Sure. So, look, we are this Republican Party, whatever this is, I guess it's still the Republican Party, is a long way from the shining city on the hill that Reagan spoke about on the eve of his election, historic election in 1980.
It's a long way from a patriot like Howard Baker, who was one of the people who persuaded Richard Nixon that it was imperative he resign.
Yes, along with Barry Goldwater, not exactly a flaming progressive by any stretch. You did the same thing. Look, guys, my reaction to it is it makes me so angry, and I don't understand why more people are not angry about what's happened here. Okay, we should have in our country legitimate public discourse about things that matter. You can have a dispute about the size of government, the size of the tax bill, whether the federal government should be doing X or Y, or whether it should be left to the states or not left to government at all. We are a long way from there. We are moving in record speed toward an autocracy, and we are using violence and words designed to inflame and to intimidate people who are in positions of authority to do the right thing. And thank God, Pat, for the people you're talking about, Kirk, because these people, you want to talk about patriots? They're the ones who stood up. And I know everyone in the progressive left is like, well, you can't really say that Mike Pence is a hero for doing his job. That's true. That's 100% true. He did what he was supposed to do. But let's be clear, with the amount of pressure that is being put on all of these people, for people to stand up in the face of adversity and do the right thing, man, it's humbling to me, and it's a really impressive thing to see.
And it's especially impressive from the gentleman in Arizona who said that if the election were held again tomorrow, he'd vote for Trump. I mean, he's not some liberal dupe. I mean, he's probably a right-wing dupe. But he still believed that the rules matter and that you got to live under the rules, and that when the other side beats you, you regroup, you get together, and you figure out a way to persuade a majority of the people to support you again.
Right.
And once that idea is gone, then everything's up for grabs.
Right.
And that idea is this far from slipping away in our country right now, because there are a whole lot of people who believe that election results count when our side wins, and election results don't count when we lose. And they are now moving into positions of power on local boards, in Secretary of State offices, and in a whole bunch of offices where they will not hesitate to exercise that power. And it's absolutely frightening.
Yeah. So while this was happening on a national level, can you guys run down what was going on in Wisconsin? I mean, I know up in northeastern Wisconsin, we had Kelly Rue, who was one of the fake electors, and she was running for local office, and she did not win, presumably because we were able to get the word out. But like, what else is happening in Wisconsin?
Sure. So, I mean, you know, you have Biden wins, right? It takes till November 7th for the media to call the election. And let's be clear, the media doesn't get to decide who won a presidential election, but these are pretty sophisticated outfits. And by the time they call the election, I think that guy from Fox who testified at one of the hearings 2 weeks ago basically said, yeah, we knew for a fact that Trump had lost Arizona the night of the election. And of course, it really pissed off the president at the time, but is what it is. But November 7th is that declaration. 2 days later, Robin Voss, the assembly speaker in Wisconsin, who, by the way, as we remember from last week, is whose roommate, Mark?
Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus.
Who was a partner at Michael Best and Friedrich, along with James Troupas and John McIver, a big Republican big shot.
And Troupas is, of course, President Trump's lawyer in the recount election or the recount litigation that goes on November 18th. Right. So you have this embedded type of relationship going on. But on November 9th, 2 days after the media calls, Voss sends a request to the Legislative Research Bureau, the lawyers there, and says, hey, what can we do? What can we as the legislator of Wisconsin, legislative body in Wisconsin do to just what's our power? And he's told. OK, November 16th. 8 days later, Voss gets a second, more amplified memo from the LRB explaining what rights and obligations the legislature has, and basically is told, you can't do anything, legislature. You can't do anything. Once the election has occurred, you set the rules were played out, it's over. The legislature has no role. 2 days later, November 18th, Kenneth Chesbrough, who we talked about last week at length, who has been front and center in some of these hearings in Washington, D.C., the lawyer from Boston with what roots in where? Wisconsin.
Stephen Spash, Stevens Point Area Senior High. He ran across country in my high school 10 years before I went to high school. You guys were on the first segment. It's crazy. He went to my high school, guys.
Yeah, so Chesbrough, he's a fancy lawyer from Massachusetts. He sends a memo to Troupas and says, here's what we need to do with these fraudulent electors. And he does it, and he outlines it by state. He says, hey, Wisconsin, it's pretty easy to do because all you need is access to the Capitol on the set date and time, and you're golden.
But who could give them access to the state capitol? I mean, you had COVID restrictions in place. Who would have that kind of power and access to give fraudulent electors access to the inside of the state capitol at a particularly constitutionally prescribed date and time?
How about the Senate Majority Leader?
Scott Fitzgerald, the newly elected congressman who was still leading the state Senate.
Absolutely.
That's right. He did that.
Absolutely.
By the way, guess what?
Aiding and abetting.
Yeah. I mean, they're all, remember we said last week, for a conspiracy to take place, you need proximity of people and time. This is all working at the same time. There's a scheme in Arizona. There's one in Georgia. The Wisconsin one is the one, Kirk, that we litigated, right? That, as you pointed out, Judge Adelman tossed out on procedural grounds. So we're never going to know what the merits of that really look like. But all of this stuff is happening contemporaneous, led by her leader in Washington, D.C., the orange Cheeto, Mr. Trump, right? And you got all these connections to Wisconsin, and all of these things are happening in lightning speed. Oh, by the way, one other thing. November 14th, 4 days before Chesbrough sends his memo to Troopas saying, here's what you got to do with the fraudulent electors. Here's the plan for the state of Wisconsin and these other states. 4 days before Ron Johnson, who, by the way, I don't know if you guys have talked about in the opening segment, but I got in a little trouble yesterday. Yep. Talk about that in a minute, I'm sure. Ron Johnson calls his old friend, Mark Becker, our friend, a friend of this show, was on this show, I think about a month ago, and says, I know it's all a bunch of crap, but I'm going to keep saying it anyway.
Because so it would be political.
To his old friend that he's a liar.
Be political suicide. A side point I want to make here, and we made it in the article yesterday over at upnorthnewswi.com, as we did a deep dive into the whole fake electors thing, I was reminded that, and I don't have the author's name in front of me, but an author for the Atlantic Monthly did an amazing piece at the end of September, okay, 6 weeks before the election, outlining the many ways that Trump would not concede, and it included mention of fake electors as a possibility. I remember reading at the time and thinking, this is crazy. Crazy stuff. Reading it again yesterday was downright chilling that, you know, it was all right there in plain sight. So Kirk's asking, I'm going to go ahead and step on it here, where Kirk's asking me, sending a message saying, we haven't really talked about who specifically rounded up these 10 particular people in Wisconsin to be the fake electors. Do we know that?
Not as far as I know, although it certainly is becoming more and more evident as pieces of the puzzle come out that this process was, that this was in process for quite some time, and that these people, as Joe said, there's a great deal of knowledge and information exchange in an already existing network of people. Obviously, we're going to find, as I think there are going to be more shoes to drop, as it were, as the hearings go on.
And we know who they are. I mean, one of them was interviewed yesterday, Andrew Hitt, who's the head of the Republican Party in Wisconsin.
Right.
They're all co-conspirators, whether they knew it or not.
Right.
So who are they? Andrew Hitt, as I said, Robert Spindell, Bill Feehan, Kelly Rue, who I mentioned is from the De Pere area, Carol Brunner, Scott Grabens, Kathy Kiernan, Daryl Carlson, Pam Travis, Mary Bustren. Tell us more about these 10 fake electors. What do you know?
So look, you know, party politics are party politics, right? All right. Remember how this works. And we talked about this, I think, back in March 10th or right after we filed the suit, Kirk, and the first time we were on your show, right?
Yeah.
The way this works is the people vote, right? But what they're really voting for is a slate of electors. That's what the Constitution lays out, okay? And the way it works in party politics is the Democrats get together and they say, there's 10 electoral votes in Wisconsin. Here are the 10 people who will be the presidential electors for the Democratic slate. The Republicans did that. There's nothing illegal about that. The people that you just listed, Kristen, are those people, although I think there was one person who bagged out, if I recall
right.
correctly,
that said,
I'm out.
But Joe, they are you know, they are the top like Republicans in Wisconsin, just like our electorate, the Democrat ones are the top Democrats in Wisconsin. But they knew they were doing something wrong.
Yes.
And that's why they're getting sued for like $250,000. And that's what we're talking about in the next segment after this.
Yep. It was done. It was done. Look, they did it. You know, the Biden electors met at the designated date and time in the Madison Capitol. Okay. And it was a public affair. And it was, you know, because that's the way the cookie crumbled for this particular election. But the Republican electors, the fraudulent electors, this group that Kristen laid off, basically they met surreptitiously, didn't call the media. They just basically met in a room so they could swear out these false certifications. But here's the thing. The thing that I find most offensive, and I thought we were doing another drinking. I wouldn't have come tonight if I didn't think we were doing a drinking game. So I don't know what's going on. But I'm going to nominate Bob Spindell as the namesake for drinking. Bob Spindell is on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. He is a fraudulent elector. He was in the room. He tried to become the chairman, by the way, of the Wisconsin Elections Commission about 2 weeks ago. This is a guy who sat and there's a lawsuit, which I think, Kirk, you've talked about before, that was brought by SEIU, the union, in the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And he refused to recuse himself over his own conduct involving fraudulent
elections. We will talk more about that. But first, we will have an interview about the fake elector scheme with Mel Barnes of Law Forward. And then the guys rejoin us afterwards. We'll be back. You're up north.